Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. The Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Waller? He said here. Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Ms. Corcoran? Here. Ms. Saunders?
Here.
Reverend Kenny?
Here.
Mr. Espinoza?
Here.
Mr. Foster? And Madam Chair?
Here. Will everyone please salute the flag? Cross your heart and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic,
for which it stands, one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have anyone to swear in tonight?
I guess me, Madam Chair.
Okay. This is Planning Board Secretary Carol Thomas. Hi. I like to swear in the professionals now. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony about to give with the truth is nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I could just put on the record that this meeting is being held in conformance with the Department of Community Affairs guidelines that were promulgated in the beginning of the pandemic. The meeting is being done virtually. The information for the public to have access to the meeting was promulgated, and the appropriate notices were put out, and I believe we have complied as well as we can with the guidelines put out by DCA. Thank you.
Can the record show that Mr. Foster has entered the meeting?
Okay.
Thank you.
Item number six, adoption of resolution to memorialize the July 8th. Action taken on July 8th, 2020.
Madam Chairman, this is Planning Board Secretary Carol Saunders. I'd like to make a motion to memorialize the action taken at the July 8, 2020 meeting.
Seconded.
I'll second that motion. Reverend Kenny, second that motion.
Okay, roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Foster? He was here. And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay.
Item number seven.
Okay. Madam Chairman, I'd like to memorialize the meeting minutes from July 8th, 2020 meeting.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that, Chair. Reverend Kenny.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
I apologize, Laura. I've been having some connection issues, so I'm back.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Item number eight, courtesy review, Board of Education. Steve, are you going to do that? Or is someone else?
No, Chair.
She was on.
This is Beth Kenderdine.
There she is.
Are you talking about the Middlesex County Vote Tax sign?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I am Beth Kenderdine from Edwards Engineering Group. We prepared the plan that was submitted showing the location of the message sign. With me is Adam Finkel from SSP Architects. What I can do is share my screen with the plan, if that's what you typically do, or would you prefer to just ask questions? How would you like to go
about can we all see the screen?
I think if you share the screen and just go over generally what's proposed.
Yes.
Okay.
I can see.
Okay. Okay, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay. What you're looking at is the plan that was submitted to the planning board. It is the Piscataway campus of the Middlesex County Vocational Technical Schools on Sutton's Lane. Are you all familiar with the location of the campus?
Yes.
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is the parking lot that is closest to the main entrance of the building. And the Board of Education is looking to construct a message sign in the location that I just zoomed in on. So it's right by the entrance driveway off Sutton's Lane. We have an approximate limit of the right-of-way based on an old survey, and we're considering placing the sign 20 feet off the existing curb so that we make sure that we're outside the pub right-of-way. So a new LED sign that is being proposed with the design is up in the right-hand corner of the plan. I'm zooming in it now. So it is 8 and 8 inches wide, 8 feet, 2 inches tall, and it will have an LED on the front. The sign is pretty much exactly what has already been constructed at the other two VOTEC campuses in Middlesex County, at the East Brunswick and Woodbridge campuses. So I've, hold on, okay. So I have pictures of those two. This is the sign at the Woodbridge campus.
Mm-hmm.
You can see what it looks like. Typically, I guess they're just gonna have time, temperature, and some announcements on the sign. This is the sign at the East Brunswick campus,
mm-hmm.
Ruse Lane. So essentially, we're just coming before the board for a capital project review to let you know what we're doing and show that it's in conformity with the master plan of the township. Adam Finkel from SSP has some more information on how the sign is going to be used and the timing of that. So, Adam, do you want to speak on? I stop sharing my screen now.
I'm sorry, Beth. Yeah. Before you go, this is Mark Corcoran. Just one thing to keep in mind, I was just speaking with the mayor, and there are plans to install sidewalks along the Sutton's Lane frontage.
Okay.
So just something to keep, obviously curbing out there right now, but there will eventually be a 5-foot sidewalk running along this frontage. So just don't want to have any issues with the location of the sign and with the placement of those sidewalks.
I don't think there will be, because we do have 18 feet between the curb.
I see that, right.
And 20 feet
and
between the curb and the sign.
And you have, is that, it, I was just scouting. You're only about 2 feet off the property line, though, right, with the location of that sign?
Yes, plus or minus. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Is the sign illuminated on both sides?
I believe so, yes.
Size and color.
All right. Is there any other questions by the board? Is there any comments by the board? Okay. Hearing no comments or questions. Do we need to take a vote? Tom, you think we need to take a vote?
It's a courtesy review. It's their opportunity to explain, but I thought there was another witness who was going to testify. I thought that's what...
Oh, yeah, he is.
Kendra Dine had indicated.
I don't see Adam Finkel.
The call. Can you hear me?
He's here. Wait, he's right there. Sorry.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
Adam.
Okay. Hi, Adam.
Excuse me one second. Madam Chair, should you have, I don't mean to, should you have sworn the witnesses in? Should the witnesses have been sworn in, even though it was a courtesy review?
A courtesy. Well, let's swear Mr. Finkel in, and then we'll go back, and I'll swear Ms. Kenderdine and see if she has any additions or corrections.
Sorry about that.
No, me too. Mr. Finkel, Carol, would you swear Mr. Finkel in?
Carol is muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Finkel, do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Finkel, would you proceed to give your comments, please?
Sure. I'm going to speak about the use of the sign. The school district, in conformance with their other campuses, will use a sign to maintain a school logo, date, time, and temperature. They will also use a sign to display school events and accommodations. It will not be used for any advertisement. The LED sign will be continuous use over the calendar year.
Okay, board members, do you have any questions of Mr. Finkel? Hearing no questions and hearing no comments, we'll go back to Ms. Kenderdine and ask Carol, would you swear her in that she has told the truth, the whole truth?
Okay, Ms. Kenderdine, could you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give was truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, does anyone have any questions? Her swearing in will cover the testimony that she gave previously in this meeting. The board has an opportunity to ask any questions or make any comments based on her testimony. Hearing no commentary by anyone else, is there any other matter under discussion for this item on the agenda? Okay, well, hearing no questions, I guess you may proceed, Ms. Kendrick, for the Board of Education, Middlesex County Voter.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 9 is not going to be heard tonight. Do we have an adjourn date for that one, which is the 17 Plainfield Avenue?
September 9th. No further notice date. Required.
Okay. Item number 10 for discussion.
Madam Chair, if I may just briefly address this for the board. I'm not sure if all the board members had an opportunity to review the March 19th, 2020 letter from Robert Williams, who is the owner of the property at 30 Rachel Terrace. But if not, just to summarize, they were before the planning board in 1979. That's why it's got an application number of 79 PB43.
Whoa.
At that point, the planning board granted a minor subdivision. So new deeds were prepared. The board approved the resolution. The appropriate documents were taken, were signed off by the planning board chairman and the secretary. However, it appears that the subdivision deed itself, even though it had been signed by everyone, was never actually filed. So I guess as part of a title search, the owner realized, I have a deed, but it's never been filed. So he wrote a letter to the board asking if the board would grant an additional 30 days extension of time, I guess 41 years plus 30 days, to allow him to file the deed. I mean, all the paperwork's in order. It's really a housekeeping item. But if he just sends the deed to the board, to the Middlesex County clerk now, it's going to get kicked back. So he needs a resolution from the planning board granting him an extension to file it. Now, he asked for 30. Practically speaking, by the time this comes up at the next meeting to be voted on, my suggestion would be, if the board's inclined, give him a 60-day extension. We'll approve the resolution at the next meeting, and he can finalize something that's been 41 years in the making.
Yeah, that sounds appropriate for my.
So if that's the board's pleasure, I would suggest perhaps a motion to grant the applicant a 60-day extension to file. And if there's a second, and if the board votes favorably on it, I'll prepare a resolution for the next meeting.
Okay. Steve, you have comment?
Yes.
Steve, go ahead.
Tom, you're comfortable with this?
I am. I've spoken to the applicant's representatives, and I understand what happened, so I'm very comfortable with it. Because, like I said, everything was done the right way, except it just wasn't mailed in. So if anything, they're going to pay more filing fees, because the fees have gone up, I guess.
Yeah. So. Okay.
So you're saying that you did review the application, and in your opinion,
I reviewed all the documents they submitted, and they did everything right 41 years ago. Someone just never mailed in the deed. So in order to mail in the deed to the clerk now, they just need a resolution from the board giving them an extension.
Otherwise, it's not on file.
Exactly. So it's on file. So if you did a title search, it would come up.
That's correct. I'll make a motion that we grant him, Reverend Kenny, I'll make a motion that we grant him 60 days in order to get this on file in time at County Clerk's office.
This is Carol Saunders. I second. Carol Saunders, I second.
Okay. Roll call.
Mayor Waller? Councilwoman Cahill?
Yeah.
Ms. Corcoran? She said yes. Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Approved.
Item number 11, discussion on 141 Circle Drive.
Sounds like you're all done.
Hello, everyone. James Clarkin here.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Let's make sure we swear in the witness.
I was just going to say yes.
This is Carol Saunders. Do you swear to the testimony about to give the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Clarkin.
Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. All right, can everyone do that?
Yes.
All right, excellent. So this study's focus before you tonight is an area in need of redevelopment study for Block 4102, Lot 2, better known as 141 Circle Drive North in Piscataway Township. Piscataway's council asked this board to study this area for a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment. And as I was retained by the board, I prepared the report before you tonight, and I'll be sharing my findings with you.
Okay.
All right. So moving on, I did an on-site investigation of the property on March 13th of this year. And as with most area in need of redevelopment studies, I look at township records, aerials, tax information, your master plan, your zoning ordinance. And I also take photos, obviously, when I'm on site during my inspection. And I put all this information together to give you my findings. So I'm just going to jump right in. I'm going to skip to page 5 and start discussing this current situation or conditions on the ground at the site. So it's one lot. It's about 5.6 acres in size. located on Circle Drive North near the intersection with Possum Town Road. So I'm actually going to skip to the end of my report, which has an aerial, so this will be easier for you all to see. So in the white square is the study area, and right here is the intersection I was just discussing. So it actually has dual frontage both on Circle Drive North and also Possum Town Road. If you continue south, southeast on Possum Town Road, you will hit Interstate 287 at exit 8. So that's what we're looking at here. And as you can see, I'll zoom in a little, but I don't think I really need to. It is vacant forested land. I will get into this a little bit later, but there also are some potential wetlands on the property. I cross-referenced Piscataway Township's building and zoning records, and I could not find any evidence of there being any development at any point, really. As far as I can remember, it's always been forest. And I believe it's been like that for well over 10 years, if not more. So back to, I'm going to jump up to page 6 of my report. So, sorry, let me know if I'm going too fast. Here we go. So as with all studies that I do an environmental analysis of the study area. So you'll see an exhibit before you, and you'll see a couple of different colors on this exhibit. So the light blue are wetlands. The pink is groundwater contamination, and if you can see them, there are two little stars. That just means it's a known contaminated site. So as you can see, this is all DEP records online. So as you can see, it says that the entire property is wet. When I walked the site, that was not the case. I did find some evidence of standing water and some pink wetland demarcation flags. I'll show you some photos later, more into the rear of the property, but it was not entirely wet. I probably walked, I don't know, at least halfway before I found any evidence of wetlands. It does seem that at some point I did not see a brook, Rehoboth Brook, I believe used to flow through here, connecting with Ambrose in Possum Town Park. But like I said, I did not see any actual running of water that would indicate a stream. So I highlighted these two things, including the groundwater contamination, because I'm going to be circling back to those two items later in my presentation. So moving on, surrounding land uses. This is the LI-5 Light Industrial District. If anyone's driven down Circle Drive North, it's pretty much light industrial. You have your warehouses, maybe some light manufacturing, and this big structure here is a large data center. If you go further south, on the other side of Possum Town Road, you have Possum Town Park. Further north on the other side, there we go. If you were going to go further north beyond these properties, there would be residences there, and there are some residences on the south side of Possum Town Park. As I said, it's in your LI-5 light industrial zoning district. Typical light industrial uses. This page 7, kind of just goes through what your zoning ordinance has for that zone. I'm sure you guys are familiar with your own zone of the LI-5. So from master plan perspective, I would just like to touch on that your master plan does not specifically call out this property for being in need of redevelopment, nor really anywhere near it. But in your master plan, you do have something that says redevelopment activity will become an increasingly important land use issue, especially within the older developed sections of the township. I would say that this area, Circle Drive North, is an older area of the township that hasn't seen a ton of development, and definitely no development on the study area. So I feel that this master plan's assumption is consistent with promoting redevelopment activity at the study area, and it meets these master plan land use goals and policy statement. Moving on to the state planning area classification, as you may know, the state plan puts all of Piscataway in the PA1 area, which is known as the Metropolitan Planning Area. It actually also lists Piscataway Township as a smart growth area in general. So, but overall, the PA1 area of the state plan calls for a majority of the development and the redevelopment of the state to occur in those areas. So therefore, redevelopment at that site would be consistent with the PA1 state planning area classification, and I believe meet the smart growth intentions of that plan as well. So now that we've covered kind of study or description, environment, conditions on the ground, master plan, I'm going to jump into some photos that are shown in my report. Just a quick disclaimer, there is nothing interesting about these photos because it is forest. so as you can see, there is
no Bigfoot. You didn't see Bigfoot?
What was that?
You didn't see Bigfoot?
No, I did not see Bigfoot. but yeah, as you can see, it's just all pretty old forest. You can see trees. That's a roadside view from Circle North Drive. And these two photos, sorry, my computer's getting a little scrolling issues. There you go. You can see some debris and trash dumps. I really did not come across a lot, though. That was right on the roadside. Then you have another picture of forest in the area. And then here is where I found some evidence of wetlands that I alluded to earlier. So as you can see, it pretty much says cut off a little bit, but it says wetland, and then that's demarcation. When I looked at the DEP records, I couldn't really find when it was demarcated, so I don't know how old those are. The flags did seem scattered around a little bit, so I would say they've been there for some time. But they were at different areas of the study area. And then this second one, you can, if you, I may need to zoom in a little bit when I do that. So you can kind of see this culvert here, and it's dry here, but if you look forward or further back in the photo, you can kind of see some evidence of water being there on the property. And then as I went further back, this is kind of going towards Possum Town. You can see another pink flag here and some more evidence of standing water. So I just want to be clear. As you know, I'm a professional planner. I do not have a license to demarcate wetlands or really to say for sure that they do exist. I'm really going by the evidence in my photos of the standing water and the flags. I think it may be important at some point, if we move further in the redevelopment process, to properly demarcate the extent of the wetlands, as it may obviously have some impact on what can be redeveloped there. So I think I have, yeah, a couple more photos. Yeah, I think that's the last one. So really, overall, the conditions shown in these photographs, plus looking over your zoning and building records, prove that the study area is unimproved vacant land and has been so for well over 10 years. And I believe this is substantial evidence meets the first leg of the C criteria. And that is a good segue into applying the statutory criteria. So first to start, why don't I read you the C criteria as a refresher and make sure we're all on the same page. If you give me a moment. Here we are. So the C criteria states land that is owned by the municipality, the county, a local housing authority, redevelopment agency, or redevelopment entity, or unimproved vacant land.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. This is Councilwoman Cahill. I do apologize, Mr. Clark. And your screen is now not where I can see what you're reading.
Okay.
No problem.
Do you want me to zoom in a little bit? Sorry, I'm right.
That's
here.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that better?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You. Sorry about that. So I was about to touch here. Or unimproved vacant land that has remained so for a period of 10 years prior to adoption of the resolution, and that by reason of its location, remoteness, lack of means of access to developed sections of the municipality or topography or nature of the soil, is not likely to be developed through the instrumentality of private capital. So as I said, I already showed evidence that we meet the first leg of unimproved vacant land for 10 years. So now I'm going to move on to the second leg, which is to show that it's not likely to be developed through the instrument of private capital. So at this point, I'm going to go back to this exhibit. So, sorry, give me a second. So two facts support this second leg that it's not likely to be developed by private capital. The first is, if you're a private developer and you're doing due diligence and you find this information, one might assume that it is entirely wetlands and most likely not redevelopable or even developable. If you did further due diligence and you actually walked the site, you may find that the wetlands are not as extensive, but they are still present. And I think this fact alone and the nature of the soil is enough to deter private capital, because as we all know, if there is a certain amount of wetlands on any property, you will kick in NJDEP requirements and regs regarding those wetlands. So that would require hiring professionals, demarcating the wetlands, putting a lot of time and money and effort that would add expenses to developing the property. And it may just not be worth it to the developer. So I think the wet nature of the soil is a deterrent to private capital. In addition, as I mentioned before, these pink areas are groundwater contamination. This one is the largest one. It actually is large enough that it has an active groundwater pumping system active to make sure that the contamination does not spread away from here. These two areas on block 4101, lot 3 and lot 4, I could not find any records of any sort of groundwater pumping, but it did say that Dow Chemical did own it at one point and it was in remediation. But these two facts combined, because the water flow is in a south-southwest direction. So if groundwater contamination was to escape, it would be in the direction of the study area. And so I think that potential for groundwater contamination is another deterrent to private capital to develop it on its own without public assistance. As you all know, groundwater contamination or contamination of any type can be quite expensive for developing a site. So the combination of those two items, the wet nature of the soil and the surrounding groundwater contamination, are, in my professional opinion, deterrents to private capital, on top of the fact that the study area is unimproved vacant land and has been so for over 10 years. So that is the C criteria. Sorry about that. Let me get back to where I was. So right, in my professional opinion, I conclude that the study area meets the C criteria and the long-term vacancy and stagnation is detrimental to the economic welfare of the community. The second criteria that I applied is the H criteria. The H criteria states the designation of the delineated area is consistent with smart growth planning principles adopted pursuant to law or regulation. So as I mentioned before, in the state plan that the state planning office put together, Scataway Township is listed as a smart growth area. So on top of that, so really the state sees Piscataway as growth already. I would concur, but also specifically for this site, Interstate 207 is close by. There are lots of existing light industrial development on Circle Drive North where you can take advantage of water and sewer infrastructure, which means you don't have to, pay a lot of money to get those utilities to that. It's already there and can be tapped into, which is a feature of smart growth area. Variety of transportation areas, et cetera. So it's my opinion as well that it meets the H criteria for being close by to existing infrastructure and meeting the smart growth principles. So in conclusion, I recommend that this Township Planning Board and the Council determine that the study area, Block 412, Lot 2, is an area in need of redevelopment based on the fact that it meets the criteria C and H of the New Jersey Local Redevelopment and Housing Law. Currently, the site presents an opportunity to be redeveloped in a smart way, And I think that moving forward with the process and preparing a redevelopment plan would increase the economic vitality of not only the study area, but for the township as well. And with that, I can take any questions that you may have.
Okay. Open to the board for any questions of Mr. Clarkin.
Madam Chair, can I just make a comment?
Sure.
I concur with Mr. Clarkin's conclusions and just want to point out that his assessment of the wetland is pretty accurate in the fact that a lot of times the DEP mapping is misleading, because if the board recalls, I believe they approved a warehouse on the adjoining property, on adjoining lot one, where last year, and the property did have some wetlands on it, but they were able to find enough area to construct a warehouse with associated parking. So I think Mr. Clarkin's assessment is pretty on.
Thanks, Steve.
Any other comments from any other members of the board?
Hi, Madam Chair, this is Councilwoman Cahill.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I had one other couple of questions. So this area, this study, Mr. Clarkin, is this the first time the board has seen this?
First time it's been asked to study this area?
No, is this the first time we're seeing the plans that you showed and the report?
Yes, this is the first time.
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, meaning that it is not, was not included in our packet.
It was emailed.
Oh, the twice. Email. Okay, yes. Very good. No. Okay, very good. So thank you. The other question I had was if you could just clarify for maybe the layman what seems to be two contradictory statements. One is that it's an area that is in need of redevelopment because without condemnation, because it is never been built on, et cetera. It fits the criteria of C, and I think you mentioned H. But then you said it also, too, would not be desirable for a private company to build on without public funding. Would you mind explaining that so that, like, the average dummy like myself could better understand what that means?
No, of course. I'd be happy to explain. So I can see what you're getting at. So the point I'm trying to make is that if a developer is looking at this property and doing its due diligence, it may come across the fact that DEP thinks that the entire area is wetlands. And usually when a developer sees that, if it's large enough wetlands, it can cause development issues and either reduce the value or what can be accommodated on the site, and then that in turn maybe the value of the site. But also just the fact that the wetlands are there usually can be a pretty big deterrent, because it just adds a lot of significant financial resources to potentially overcome, especially if the wetland areas are large enough. They will have to, let's say they fill them in, they would have to put wetlands elsewhere in the state at possibly double or even four times as large. So I don't want to get too much into the DEP regs, because I don't want it on them in front of me, and two, I'm not an expert on them, but it can be a really big deal for private development, and it just may not be financially worth it to go through all of that. So that's what I meant by just the simple fact of the DEP mapping on me finding wetlands on that site, that it's really a deterrent to private capital without public assistance, which is what we're doing. We're studying the site, and if we move forward with the redevelopment plan, we will give private developers some incentive to actually develop it. Does that kind of answer your question, Councilman Cahill?
Absolutely, absolutely does. I definitely have commentary, but not a question for you with regard to that last part. But you did answer my question. Thank you.
Any other questions from any other board members? Concerns?
Yes, so from an environmental perspective, any reason to preserve the wetlands in Piscataway?
If they are significant enough. So that's where the developer, if we, let's say we move forward, let's say this board moves forward and recommends to the council to look at this for redevelopment. If we select a redeveloper, they will have to really get an expert out there to see what value those wetlands are. So the DEP regs, I think they have like three or four categories of wetlands, ranging from very significant, meaning they are very high in environmental value, to low. Usually when you're on the, it's usually in size, but also maybe wildlife habitats that might be there. So, and as I said before, I'm not an expert in this area. So that's why I think if we do move forward, the redeveloper is that it's the onus is going to be on the redeveloper to find out, can we even develop? And if we can, how do we preserve if we have to preserve? So let's say it's small enough, they may be able to fill them or pay DEP some money so that they can put wetlands elsewhere. But if it's big enough, then yes, they would have to preserve it, give a buffer, et cetera. There are different levels. So, and sorry, I can't really answer your question because I don't know the value of those wetlands right now.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Clarkin, I have a question. Do you know whether the other two lots adjacent to this particular area in need of development are being considered for development also, or is just that one lot?
So for this study, it just focuses on that one lot, block 401.
But I mean, do you think the municipality has plans or anybody else to look at those other two lots? Because it seems if we do that one, the other two lots may be amenable to redevelopment also.
Right, I see what you're saying. I think Steve Gottlieb mentioned that this one was actually before the board already. I'm not sure. I think they got approval.
Yes, they did.
Okay, thanks, Steve. This one, I don't know. It's possible. It could be a domino effect of sorts. Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of thinking, because I do recall when we had that application last year, when that other, when we developed it, and it was that parking lot was right next to that where that pink area, but we were able to get the application through by some means. I forget how we did it, but it was, we were able to approve the application. So I'm wondering if, but you said that was that pink part was had been contained, so that wouldn't. There's no spillage over into lot 301.
There
no
might be. I mean, yeah. Just going off of the DEP records, yeah, you're right. It kind of it kind of like very little.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's possible, but I mean, as you know, this one went before the board and was approved. But this one may also be a challenge, you know. It may, depending on what is found, it could be a challenge to develop.
Yeah, but since it seems to me that since the other one was approved, it may be a benefit. I see a greater benefit than attempting to prove the next one. Any other?
Chair.
Yes. Go ahead. Who's speaking?
Yeah, I think the mayor's coming.
What happened? Did I lose my sound?
No, one bit, Brenda.
Okay.
We can hear you.
All right.
Wait.
if the board doesn't have any additional questions.
The mayor's trying to speak. Hold on one second. He's having difficulties. Lauren, do you need help?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny, I'm asking a question on item 12. Wasn't that that lot last year on South Washington Avenue, all the way at the very end? And, you know, that we're talking about access to 287. Maybe in years to come, would that area to be redeveloped? Wasn't that that empty lot that was all the way at the end of South Washington Avenue, as I recall?
I don't know. Is this close? I don't think this is on South Washington Avenue, is it?
No,
is this is over
Reverend Kenny, this is on Boston Town Road right next to the data center.
Oh, okay. That's well, okay. I got the wrong lot then. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may, if the board decides to move forward to make this a redevelopment site, the onus is ultimately going to be the applicant that's got it. Who has a hurdle with the DEP to come up with a plan, and it would come back to the, if they pass muster with the DEP, it would come back to the board anyway. But if they don't pass muster with DEP, it's going to be a moot point no matter what.
Right. Okay. Well, we've heard Mr. Clarkin's report. What's the board's pleasure?
You should open it to the public.
Pass a resolution.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
You should open it to the public.
Okay. This issue is opened to the public for any comments or questions that they may have of Mr. Clarkin concerning this area in need of redevelopment. Let's see. Ms. Buckley, do you see any comment, any response?
No, I do not, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right. Then hearing no response, it's closed to the public, this portion. Does anyone want to propose a motion from the board? A resolution?
Is this in regards to 11 and 12, both lots or all three lots?
No,
I believe just lot two.
Just lot two? Okay.
Is that correct, Mr. Clarkin? Mr. Clarkin, is that correct?
Mr. Clarkin,
that is correct.
One lot?
Lot.
Yes.
Block 4102, lot two.
Okay. Reverend Kenny, I make a motion that we go for redevelopment on lot two, commonly known as Circle Drive North.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that. Dawn Corcoran.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
You might be muted.
Mr. Clarkin, can you unshare your screen so I could see everybody?
Yes, sir.
It kind of blocks me out. I apologize.
There you go.
There we go. Ms. Cahill?
I see her on mute.
Yeah, I'm asking her to unmute. I don't know if she sees it, though. Okay, we'll come back. Ms. Corcoran?
Yeah.
Ms. Saunders?
Yeah.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. And we lost Gabby. Okay, we have six.
Okay.
Next. Number two.
All right, thank you, Mr. Clarkin.
Thank you.
Item number 14. I'll say item number 13 has been postponed to September the 19th. That's for Scataway Centennial Development Developers.
And we still have number 12, Madam Chair.
Okay. I wrote all over it. That's why I didn't see it. Okay. Item number 12, discussion regarding South Washington Avenue and Access Road.
Correct.
Yes. I will also be presenting this to you tonight. As I'm already sworn in, I think I can jump right in. So I'll once again share my screen.
Okay, fine.
We'll get that going. So this study is block 5101, lots 5.02, 6.02, and 7.02. It's on South Washington Avenue and Centennial Avenue. So as mentioned previously, I was retained by the board after Scataway Township Council asked the board to study this area for in need of redevelopment, a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment. And this is my report before you, and we'll go through the findings. So this one's a little bit longer as it's three lots, but so please stop me if you have any questions. And as you all know, to qualify as an area in need of redevelopment, we need to meet one of those eight criteria found in the local redevelopment and housing law. So on March 11th, and then also with a follow-up visit on June 30th of this year, I did an on-site inspection, took photographs, and then I compared that with your township records, aerials, your master plan, your zoning ordinance, police records, anything I could find regarding those properties. So let's jump right into the description of the study area. So actually, I'm going to skip to the aerial as it's a lot easier to describe. Okay. Okay. All right, so we have block 5101, lot 5.02, lot 6.02, and lot 7.02. These are the three areas that were asked to be studied. As I mentioned, this is South Washington Avenue, and here is Centennial Avenue. So these three contiguous properties represents about 21.4 acres of land and is kind of in that northwest corner of this intersection and also bound by Access Road. So that's the general study area. I'm going to kind of delve into each individual lot. So I'm going to start with lot 5.02. As you can see, it has dual frontage on Access Road. And then you can also see it's an irregularly shaped lot. And it has like this weird pinch point and then kind of opens up and has frontage on Centennial Avenue. So as you can see, it's mainly open space. There is this gravel portion here that seems to be utilized.
Madam Chair, if I could just interrupt Mr. Clark for a second for the board's reference, this is the Avis rental site.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I will definitely get to that. For reference, Avis is here on lot 6.02. But for 5.02, like I said, it's really just open space. This gravel area seems to be kind of utilized by these businesses. You do have a stretch of forest and trees and dense vegetation right here. And then it kind of also wraps around the border here. I'm going to show you some photographs where you can get a better look at that. But for all intents and purposes for our presentation tonight, this is vacant, unimproved land. And after reviewing past aerials and your township records, I believe it's been that way for well over 10 years. And as the mayor was saying, lot 6.02 is the Avis budget rental car service. And actually, there are two businesses on this property. The second building here is actually CLC. You know what? Sorry, I'm going to have to scroll up. I already forgot what they're called. Apologies. Contract Leasing Corporation. So they really just engage in the leasing of trailers. I'm just going to call them CLC for short from now on. And you can kind of see that they kind of split the property in their operations. You know, you have your car rental parking here. People go into the offices here who are looking to rent cars. And then the trailer storage is really the southern portion of the lot. And it's, you know, kind of haphazard and really, you know, stored a lot of trailers on the site. The two buildings are two brick buildings, both two stories. The first has the rental car offices. There is a repair facility. I think it's three or four garages, and that's really it. For this one, it also has offices in this little corner right here, and then the remainder are trailer bays for repair and maintenance as well. There's also one over here, and also there was an attic for storage. So besides the two businesses and the two small buildings, it's really just one giant parking lot slash storage area. So it's hard to see, but the pavement kind of extends until about here, and then it kind of turns into just gravel for the rest of the way. And then finally, we have lot 7.02. I'm going to sort of describe this as a corner through lot, the corner being right here at Access Road and South Washington Avenue, but then it kind of weirdly snakes around or behind these properties to also have frontage on Centennial Avenue, just a little bit right there. As you can see, it is also vacant, unimproved land. It's really just tall grass, woods and forests and trees, and maybe even potential wetlands, of which I will get into later. So I should mention that lot 5.2 is 7.91 acres. 6.02 is 9.36 acres. And this one is 4.1 acres for a total of just over 21 acres in size. Mm-hmm. So that's a description of the three lots. Jumping into the environmental analysis. If you give me a second, I can bring up the exhibit.
What happened?
Yeah, that's my computer. Give me a second.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully it comes back. Sorry, I'm just going to have to close it and reopen it, I think. So I'll try and describe as we're waiting for this. So during the environmental analysis research, really just two things came up, wetlands and underground storage tanks. So we'll talk about the underground storage tanks first. It's really not a big deal. So the rental car facility obviously has to put gas in its vehicles. So it has a fueling station in the middle of the property. When I looked at DEP records, there were no issues or any thing out of order. They were all permitted and allowed. So that was one thing. And then the wetlands. So I'm really hoping to get this exhibit up. Let's try this again. Okay. Let me share my screen again. I apologize. Okay. Can everyone see my screen now?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here is, according to DEP records, the extent of the wetlands. So once again, I walked this site and I did not see wetlands in this area. There was a dry stream bed kind of running through this vegetation. I'm not sure if just the hydrology over time has changed in the area, but, and actually on my second visit, it was a very heavy rain event right before I got there. So I was actually surprised not to see any water there. But nonetheless, I couldn't actually get to all the vegetation to see any standing water, but I did not see any. Also, it says that there are wetlands here. I could not, there was a fence here, so I really couldn't get in there too far to see. So that's something we may have to look at. But right here. So this has it going all the way through. There are no wetlands on the driveway, but there is standing water in these areas. And then finally, I wasn't able to get all the way through, but I did find some demarcation flags in this area as well. So once again, there seems to be potential for wetlands in the study area, possibly all three lots. But once again, we probably need someone properly licensed and an expert in that field to confirm the extent of those wetlands. Surrounding land uses, you have two residential homes here. As you may know, a warehouse development was recently developed here. And if you go further west, you'll eventually hit Corporate Place, where there are also other warehouses and light industrial uses. Across the way on Centennial Avenue, you have a small office building. You have Interstate 287, Exit 6 right here. On the other side are more light industrial, retail, and other commercial uses. And then to the east, you have Skatoe Shopping Center with also retail and big box stores. This study area, all three lots are also in your light industrial LI5 zone classification. And as you know, it permits a wide variety of light industrial uses, such as light manufacturing, warehousing, data centers, et cetera. For the master plan perspective, once again, your master plan does not specifically call out this area for being needed to be studied for area in need of redevelopment. But once again, the fact that your master plan mentions that redevelopment activity will become important for older sections of the township, I think qualifies for this area being studied today, as it's, I think it's been this way for a long time and no real development has come to it. And then once again, for the state planning area classification, you are still planning area one, the metropolitan planning area, and Piscataway is still a smart growth area. So redevelopment here meets the intent and is consistent with the state's plan. So now I'm going to go through some of the photographs that I took of each lot. So we're going to start with lot 5.02, which was the one furthest to the left on the aerial. And that was open space. And as you can see in the first photo, it's pretty wide open. This is looking north towards 287 and Access Road, just grass area. And then this is looking south. And you can kind of get an idea of that vegetation and tree area that I was talking about. It kind of splits the property almost in half. And this is a closer look to it. And as I said, there was a heavy rain event right before I got there, but you know, I tried getting in there to see if I could find standing water, but it just was too dense to really know for sure. And then there's that dry stream bed that I mentioned before. But it's very possible that wetlands existed there before, but maybe not as much as DEP thought when they first went out there. And then finally, so that's lot 5.02. And then towards the bottom, so if you look at the tax map, there are, here, actually, why don't I show you the tax map before? So this is lot 5.02 right here. You can see that pinch point I mentioned earlier, and it kind of opens up. So, geez, let me scroll over. So you have a varied width drainage easement, and in that last photo, you could kind of see the ditch or basin that is there that I think allows drainage to go to. But then you also have this slope easement here that covers the access to Centennial Avenue. I think that just may be a possible continuation of the drainage as the water once again goes in a north-south direction. As you know, when you're driving down South Washington Avenue, it's a pretty big hill, so the topography is very similar. I I also did a review of police and township records. There was no hits for lot 5.02 except one incident in 2007 of illegal dumping of wood chips on the property. That was really it. Only thing I can really say is that if this continues to be vacant unimproved land, that it could be subject to more illegal dumping in the future. But it really only was one issue. So now we're going to go to lot 6.02, which is the middle lot. So the first picture is the Avis building, and then you can kind of see the extent of how many cars are parked on the area, and also the condition of the pavement. Overall, the condition of the pavement was really dilapidated and could show a lack of maintenance, like the striping was faded, and it looks like it hadn't really been taken care of. And as you go further along, especially once you get to the gravel area, you'll come across these big potholes, which get even worse, and you can see the water in the potholes. A couple photos of the buildings. It's really just their maintenance facility, the attic, and their offices. They seem to be in decent shape. Nothing really there to report on. There you can see they're servicing those trailers. And then these are the ones that I wanted to get to. So right after that heavy rain event, you could really see the poor conditions of the pavement and overall dilapidation of the paved area and gravel area. That combines with the haphazard parking of rental cars and trailers really is obsolete. There's definitely a more modern and safer approach to storing rental cars and trailers, where it shouldn't be so haphazard and taking up so much excessive space. And then finally, are some of the potential wetlands on lot 6.02. And you can kind of see the standing water there. So, also, police records were looked at for lot 6.02, and they were actually quite extensive. So, Appendix C of my report actually has a full list of all the police records. But between 2010 and 2020, there are 36 incidents of stolen vehicles or trailers on the property. The majority of those incidents involve stolen vehicles from the rental car business, but a couple also involve stolen trailers. Other police reports on the property included disorderly conduct, burglary, forgery, dumping, possession of drugs, and fraudulent business checks. So really, I think the lack of security on the property, unfortunately, makes it somewhat of an attractant to crime. You know, there's no fencing, no security cameras, no lighting. There's nothing really out there, especially once the business closes for the day. But really, there's just the lack of formal modern storage of vehicles and trailers without that security or lighting. It really makes it dangerous, obsolete, and detrimental to the public welfare, in my opinion. So together, I think these conditions confirm obsolescence, excessive land coverage, and dilapidation of lot 6.02. And then this last lot. Once again, I checked your records. There's no indication of anything ever being developed. As you can see, it's really just grasslands and forest. Although I do want to note this really high grade change and wall here. So that's where Access Road kind of comes out and meets South Washington. And you can see the signalized intersection there. I just want to note that because I'm going to come back to it in a second. Yeah, there was some debris on the lot, really not much. But once again, you see these pink flags, which may be an indicator of potential wetlands on the site. And as I showed before in that exhibit, the DEP record showed a large portion of the lot to be encumbered by wetlands, but we would need a professional to be sure of the extent. But overall, I think it's clear that this is vacant, unimproved property and has been so for 10 years. Now, before I jump into application of the criteria, I'm going to go over improvement value to land value ratio. So if you can see my screen, this is section 5.1 of my report. So this is really a tool that kind of looks at economic productivity of properties in the study area. I do this by analyzing your tax assessment data that I get from your tax office. And it's summarized in this table with the blue heading right here. So we have lot 5.02, 6.02, 7.02. So you have land value and then the improvement value, which is really the value of the structures or infrastructure on it. So as there's no building or development on lots 5.02 and 7.02, their ratio is effectively zero. So it's obviously very clear that they're being underutilized. However, the improvement to land value ratio of lot 6.02 is only 0.1721. So you can really see the difference of improvement value to the land value. So that means the land is many times more valuable than the actual improvements upon it. And a low ratio of 0.1721 really shows that the property is being underutilized significantly. And then just so we're not looking at that in a bubble, I looked at three other adjacent properties. So lot two is the warehouse development further west of the study area. So it's actually the one at Corporate Place and Centennial Avenue. I chose this one because the lot right next to the study area is the PSE&E facility, which wouldn't be a good comparison. So that's the first one. The second one is the brand new warehouse development on Access Road right next to the study area. Excuse me. And the third is the office building across the street on the other side of Centennial. And what's really key here is really just look at those improvement values. You have 5 million, 19 million, 1, and even the land is much more significantly higher in value at 4 million, 8 million, and just under a million. And then you look at their ratios, it's 1.2 to 1, 2.3 to 1, and 1.5 to 1. So really anything 1 to 1 or over 1 to 1 usually means it's being properly utilized economically. So I think it's pretty clear that the surrounding area is being utilized very well and is actually probably thriving, but the study area is quite behind and is underutilized, in my opinion. Right, so like if you were to take combined values in the study area, you get about $500,000, and it doesn't even come close to any of those individuals surrounding it. So I think all this financial data sharply points out that the study area is economically underutilized.
Underutilized. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now to the key part, the application of the criteria. So I'm starting with lot 5.02, which is that lot furthest to the west that is mostly open space. Mm-hmm. So as I said before, it seemed that DEP records show that there were potential wetlands. And as I said, I did not really seem to find any evidence of that. However, if there are wetlands in the area, it would be a deterrent to private capital. As I mentioned in my previous testimony for the last study. So that's one deterrent. But also I think another is the fact that you have that drainage easement and the slope easement on the Centennial Avenue side. And so that may create difficulties for access. So it limits access to the lot. And I believe that that is a deterrent to private capital as well to develop it, because the southern portion of the lot just may not be A, accessible, or be able to be utilized because of potential wetlands in the area. So that if a private developer is looking at it, he may just be deterred by the natural features of the site. And so due to that circumstance, I believe that private capital may be deterred to individually develop the property by itself. And physical evidence of long-term vacancy combined with the natural features found at lot 5.02 meets the C criteria. And in my professional opinion, I conclude that it meets the C criteria and the long-term vacancy and stagnation is detrimental to the economic welfare of the community. Now, also for lot 5.02, I applied section 3 of the local redevelopment and housing law. Sorry, I'm just going to scroll to it so that you can see it. Some of you may forget that this is part of the law. Usually we focus on the 8 criteria, which is A through H. But within the redevelopment statute, it states a redevelopment area may include lands, buildings, or improvements which themselves are not detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare, but the inclusion of which is found necessary with or without changing their condition for the effective redevelopment of the area of which they are part. And so I find that Section 3 applies to Lot 5.02. It's necessary for the redevelopment of the whole area, as it will provide additional land area to make the project more developable, but also will connect to Lot 6.02 and 7.02, which will give more access options to Centennial Avenue, making the property more economically viable. And I think this will be key because we're close to that major signalized intersection of Centennial Avenue and South Washington Avenue, which we all know gets very busy. And if we're going to move forward with redeveloping this site, we're going to want to have as many access options as possible. So moving on to Block 5101, Lot 6.02, I found that the D criteria applies to this lot, and I'm going to read it now. Areas with buildings or improvements which, by reason of dilapidation, obsolescence, overcrowding, faulty arrangement or design, lack of ventilation, light and sanitary facilities, excessive land coverage, deleterious land use or obsolete layout, or any combination of these or other factors are detrimental to the safety, health, morals, or welfare of the community. So as I pointed out before, the dilapidation and lack of maintenance of the parking lot is very clear from the photos of my site visit. The obsolescence of just haphazard parking, of stuffing of trailers onto a large property area, faulty arrangement through a lack of design to even store these trailers and cars, and just the excessive land coverage overall to accommodate this excessive storage area. I feel the dilapidated parking lot creates an eyesore, and also those potholes can really start to damage vehicles or trailers when they're entering the property, and increase risk to personal injury for those who traverse the lot. So I feel that this is evidence of dilapidation that supports the D criteria. Right, I already talked about the trailers. And then back to the number of police records that we found for Lot 6.02 being extensive and the high amount of crime that we found at that lot over the past 10 years. I think just the way that the property is set up without security lighting really just doesn't deter crime, and unfortunately crime has come to that lot, and it's just kind of created this negative social behavior, and I believe it constitutes deleterious land use and is detrimental to the welfare of the community. I think redevelopment would potentially turn that around. And so overall, the physical and documented evidence confirm the presence of conditions that exhibit obsolescence, excessive land coverage, deleterious land use, faulty arrangement, and dilapidation of the site. These conditions and factors are detrimental to the safety, health, morals, and welfare of the community, in my opinion. Okay, finally to Lot 7.02. Once again, the DEP records show extensive wetlands on the property, and I also found some evidence of wetlands as well. And I feel that this is a deterrent to private capital for similar reasons I mentioned before. You have to pay for permitting, professionals, and significant financial resources just to develop the property. And I think that that fact, plus the amount of time that it's been vacant, has just deterred private capital. So that nature of the soil and the natural feature is one deterrent, but also I pointed out in that photo, the high brick wall showing the excessive grade change. So I just, the reason I pointed that out is for the point of access. So if one was to develop that on its own, I think accessing the property would be very difficult. It would be very difficult to get that road to connect to access road at that high grade, especially because there is not a lot of frontage on the lot to allow for a road to connect and not, I guess, sort of screw up the configuration of the signalized intersection there. And then also, if you were to put a direct access onto South Washington Avenue, I think that would cause a lot of problems too, because as you know, there are three signalized intersections between 287 and Centennial Avenue. So creating an access point on its own would not be, cause a lot of safety and traffic issues. So I think that would be a major deterrent to private capital as well. So overall, I think the natural features of the grade and the wet nature of the soil combined are a big enough deterrent to private capital and make it unlikely that they would intervene without public assistance to redevelop it. And therefore, I think that meets the C criteria. I also applied Section 3 to Lot 7.02 for similar reasons, in that it will provide additional land area to provide a more developable project within the study area. The added lands area will connect lots, 5.02 and 6.02, and this will give us more access options, especially around this major signalized intersection. Should it move forward. And finally, for all three lots, I applied the H criteria, as this is in the planning area one of the state plan and Piscataway is already marked as a smart growth area, but also with the proximity of 287 literally being right there and the surrounding infrastructure that's already in place, I think it meets the smart growth objectives of that state plan, and therefore H criteria applies to lots 5.02, 6.02, and 7.02. Okay, so to wrap it all up, I recommend that the Township Planning Board and the Township Council determine that the study area is a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment based on the fact that it meets the criteria of the New Jersey Local Redevelopment and Housing Law. And to quickly review, I found that Block 5101, Lot 5.02 meets the C, H, and Section 3 criteria of the law. Block 5101, Lot 6.02 meets the D and H criteria of the law. And Block 5101, Lot 7.02 meets the C, H, and Section 3 criteria of the law. I think it's a great opportunity for redevelopment to take advantage of the surrounding infrastructure to develop in a smart way. It meets your township master plan goals. And the criteria set forth in the redevelopment law. And with that, I will take any questions.
Okay,
Mr. Parkin, Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Parkin?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. In regards to 502, 602, and 702, could those three lots be combined for redevelopment together?
Yes, they could. And that's actually the point I'm making with the Section 3 application, the criteria, is that I think it's in the interest of the project to do so.
Right. And I think it would may interest a developer when the three lots come together, because it would be accessible and large enough for the developer. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the board? Should we open it up to the public?
Yes. Excuse
Mr. Scott
me.
Scott, do you have something?
Yes, just a similar comment to the Circle Drive redevelopment plan. And, you know, again, I concur with Mr. Clark in regarding the whole wetland and environmental issue. And I also agree that, you know, being that the three parcels are under separate ownership, inclusion of all three in the redevelopment area could eventually incentivize a developer to purchase all three properties.
Yeah, I agree. Any other comments from the other members of the board? Well, let's open it up to the public. I'd like to open it up to the public to make any questions or comments on the testimony of Mr. Clarkin with reference to these three lots in need of redevelopment.
You might want to take down your screen, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Steve. There we go.
Somebody raised
their hand. Do you have any response, Ms. Buckley?
Yes. Ken Simmons.
I can't hear you.
Oh, I hear you now. Go ahead. Was there any response from the public?
Yes. There's a Ken Simmons that would like to speak.
Okay. Ask Mr. Simmons to give his name and address.
Good evening. Ken Simmons, 113 Willow Avenue, Piscataway. Also what's happening in Piscataway. My question about the three lots. You said that they're under separate ownership. Are any of them owned by the township, or would they be purchased by the developer? The township would broker a deal where the developers would buy the individual lots, or even if they are combined as a package, how would that play out if they're under separate ownership?
The township does not own any of those lots. If we were to move forward with this process, a developer may come forward to purchase all three lots. Typically, it's one redeveloper, but it can be multiple. And so if that does come to pass, then we would move to the redevelopment plan stage, and then that's when the township would work with that developer to figure out what to put on the property. So to sort of answer your question, a developer would have to come forward and likely have some sort of real estate options on all three to start discussions with the township.
Okay, so but currently you could say that putting this, or sort of like, I guess it's a reclassification, makes it available for sale if a developer decides they want to put an offer in. It's not necessarily being marketed for sale at this time or at a projected date.
I see what you're saying. To my knowledge, they are not for sale currently. Sorry, what was the first part of your question again?
I was trying to understand if the township is targeting these properties as a sale item, let's say if there's some word that the current owners may have said we would be open to an offer if somebody should come forward.
Okay.
So I was just trying
right,
to
understand. So it's not really an offer per se. So if this board and the council designates an area in need of redevelopment, it opens up sort of like a toolbox of different options that the township and that developer can come into agreement on, basically to incentivize that developer to redevelop it. So the whole point of designating an area in need of redevelopment is for the public body, in this case the council, to incentivize development because it hasn't occurred on its own. So it's not really an offer per se. It's more like opening more pathways. Development.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions from any other member of the public?
No hands, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no response, it's closed to the public. All right, the board has the option of making a comment or making a motion.
Madam Chair, first of all, to address to Mr. Clarkin, thank him for the thorough search in these properties for redevelopment. He's done it excellent job in going through these properties, because they're in the back end of that property past the Davis lot. It's pretty dense back there. I've been back there several times because I rented some vehicles out of there. It is dense property, but it can be developed, and there is some wetlands back there in that northwest corner. But I thank him very much for the thorough job that he does in the pictures and everything that he sent. But this area does need, there's a need for any property that's vacant needs to be redeveloped. And he does a thorough job, and I thank him very much.
Thank you, Reverend Kenny.
We agree. We agree. The board agrees. Is there a motion?
Therefore, Reverend Kenny, again, Madam Chair, I make a motion that we, these properties on item 12, 5101 lots 502, 602, and 7.02 being for in process for redevelopment.
Can I hear a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Who was that?
Carol Saunders.
I got it. Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill? I think we lost her. Ms. Corcoran? You said yes. Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. We had six.
Approved.
Madam Chair, it is Councilwoman Cahill. It was a yes. I had to hit those buttons to apologize for that.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Cahill.
Okay. The motion carries.
Okay.
I think we're in item number 14.
Yes,
ma'am. We need a motion to pay the bills.
So moved, Madam Chair. Reverend Kenny.
Second. So moved, Carol Saunders.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Having no other business on the agenda, take a motion to adjourn this meeting until September the 9th of 2020.
So moved.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Everyone, see you next month. Stay safe.
Have a good night.
Everybody be well. Be safe, everyone.
Stay safe.
Stay well.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that.